Sunday night or the Yud Adar. The women's here in Chavis Alvavas Sukei Shar HaBechina. And just to go again, I'm not sure how to tackle this. If we Chavis Alvavas really in Perek Dalid elaborates more. Perek Gimel, he really just gives a list. I think I mixed up the problem. Perek Dalet is the list. Perek A, he starts elaborating. And he talks about physics and chemistry, we'll call it. That was the first category of Chochma to delve into. Again, we're talking about Bechina, seeing Hashem's wisdom, and Chesed. Okay. The second one is mankind. I'm not... Just that everything... the greatness of man. It's not the biology. It's very interesting. Biology is number three. The third category of wisdom is number three, is how the whole body is put together and how everything works, and you have... And really it applies to animals also. It's biology. It's the blood system. It's the way food is digested, the way a person sees and hears. Number two is like a whole... Number two is just the creation of man. Man is a miniature world, he calls it. It's really a miniature Hashem, so to speak. A man is creative. Animals are not really creative. They don't have... critical thinking, they can't figure things out. I mean, they could maybe on a very low level, you know, in every species there's always like a gray area as you go from one species to the other. So there's always like a ben hashmoshos, like between day and night there's twilight. So the fact that there are signs of what we'll call a very rudimentary form of intelligence in animals is not a kasha. Anyway, his point is not everything that man is, that man betters the world, that man creates, that man has bechira, that's number two, is to delve into that and think about that. And people, the way people build things and just create, and maluchas go to war and they want to take over, and that's mankind. It's like a whole parsha in itself. Number three was the biology of man. Okay, number four is the animal kingdom, with all different kinds of animals and how they have food and how they procreate and how they do things for the world, like bees with the pollen. Okay, again, I still didn't figure out how to go about this. Maybe we'll wait for the next parak. Today we'll do what Mrs.
Schwartz.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't even know your name. You're just a presence always. So we're going to read something about chemistry and physics today to see a little. The fifth category are plants and trees. And all right, that's number five. And how they grow and how they get nutrition and the rain cycle, everything involved in that part of the world, in that part of the creation of the universe. I lost my regular Chavis Alvavas. That's why I'm flipping around. The sixth is... I don't think we learned the six of the Simon Achachma near Bachmas Vumlochos Vapulos, everything that people do. You know, the chachmas of the world, what people are engineering, and that you can be, the way people put certain principles into effect to build buildings, to invent. They harness the forces of the universe. The harnessing Hanira b'chochmos uve melachos uve pu'ulos asher heichinam haborius barach la'adam, that Hashem made ready for man to know. When you learn these things and you you harness, really, you harness nature or you harness science in creating new things and inventions. In other words, when a person invents something, we have to look at it that Hashem is granting, Hashem is channeling his chachma into the world. When they come up with inventions at certain tekufas in history, right, and they came up with like major breakthroughs, and then for the next 200 years everything was built on that. And now in modern times, it's just the whole process speeds up right away. You start with a transistor or a computer chip, and everything, like all of a sudden, like the whole world changes, and like a few decades go by, and everything, all these things that we see and we have, it's very geschmack. You know, there's no, we're not the Amish, we're not the Adaram, but we see it as Chachmas Hashem. And you know, the famous Medrash by Brismila, that you know, in a certain sense, you say Hashem made an inedible wheat kernel, and it's up to mankind. He left it up to mankind to develop. That doesn't mean they do it on their own with their own chachma. It means Hashem decides at what point in history there's going to be an industrial revolution that's going to change the way people live and the way people eat, and the way the whole relationship between the change from an agricultural society to an industrial society, like such an upheaval. And any invention is Hashem giving forth chachma. And you know, in a certain sense, again, the students of history notice that there's been an amazing hitpatchut of chachma in the last 200-300 years. I mean, and the whole process, like, speeded up, and it really is somewhat that way in Torah also. Not in terms of, it's funny, like, in Torah, it's not, in Torah we really have a Masorah that the further we are from Har Sinai, the worse we are. We're not better. We're aware, and people know Torah less than they did, and we don't really argue with, you know, there's various tekufos, whether it's the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara, and then there's the Rishonim, and there's different there's sort of an accepted invisible lines that we don't cross. Like, we don't argue with previous generations. We defer to them, because we recognize that they're closer to the Masorah, they're closer to Har Sinai, they probably know things better than we do. That's on one hand. On one hand, we don't consider ourselves superior to previous generations in Torah. We consider ourselves inferior. On the other hand, there's an outpouring. It's like the floodgates have opened. There's so much Torah out there. Like on any aspect of Torah, there's books and writings and thoughts, and now there's websites and Torah on the web and MP3s and shiurim. It's just really, if someone would like catalog everything that's out there, you know, you can't appreciate this. I apologize. Like, the earlier generations, Pashut, had less to know. They had less to know. If someone now wants them to know like everything that's out there, there's not enough time. If he would sit and learn 24/7 for 120 years, he wouldn't scratch the surface of what's out there. Just like the Mayonis HaChachma have opened up. The irony is that this is already a side observation. Well, people are getting worse. We're not as good as previous generations. We struggle to, what in previous generations was considered tzidkus, you know, what we considered tzidkus was maybe normal behavior for previous generations. I'm trying to describe a certain dichotomy that exists. Maybe it's true in the Goyish world too. Maybe all these inventions and all the chachma that's outpouring the people are not better people, right? And there's a lot of in Kamus, maybe, I don't know, in the Goyish world, they are discovering new things. They are getting deeper into it. They really are. In secular, we'll call it secular knowledge. Now we're learning there's no such thing as secular knowledge. In the Chochmah that's not Torah, in the Chochmah of the world, Chochmah's Hashem, which is not specifically Torah, there was an opening of Chochmah and a Hashpah into the world, certainly in the last, since the Industrial Revolution for sure, even more so in the last 200 years, 150 years, 200 years. In Torah, it's like that to some, in Torah, it's dichotomous. On one hand, there's so much more available and so much more out there. And I can tell you on any area in Torah, the most, no matter let's say Shiluach HaKan, let's say, right? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's like
maybe.
Obscure, that's what I'm looking for. No matter how obscure you can go now, and in English or Hebrew, you can make a library out of Sforim about the halachos of Shiluach HaKan. And there's no stone unturned. All the, like, every detail, and like hundreds of details, thousands of details, and that happened now lately, and with the computer, everything, and now you go into every week. There's another 50 Sfarim published, new Sfarim, and then they're redoing the old Sfarim. But it seems, again, I'm speaking now from a little personal perspective. It's like a little. It's in Torah. It's, I guess we take the person into account too. You know, it's like a little shallow, chitzonius. It's like a lot of knowledge out there. But the people, you know, we're slipping. If you haven't noticed, the generations are slipping. So it's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah, how do you see that? What's going on with Lakewood and Mir and the Briscoe Yeshivas. There's so much learning going on now that never...
That's what I just said. So much learning.
But you don't think it's on a greater depth? Or?
No. It's not. It's a greater breadth, and it's more widespread. There's more people learning could be at any point in Jewish history. There's more people like learning, and they're learning more. But it's I'm not knocking it. I'm saying this is part of our Masorah, that this is the way it's going to be.
But and they're
that,
standing on the shoulders of all those.
Yeah, but
came
but
out
that's why you see what's
so
called. See,
I
don't know. That's why. Have you ever heard of the word Achronim, like yeah. Pnei Yeshua? Let's say you ever heard of Pnei Yeshua. He like there's an invisible line. He can't argue with a Rashba.
Right.
There's an invisible line. There's certain things we recognize that we're further away from really getting it. So that's the way it is. That's the way Hashem constructed history. We're further away from Har Sinai. We're further away from the Masorah. The printed book, right? It's a wonderful blessing, right? Yes, I'm waiting for you to say yes. I could say no. It's a very mixed blessing. It's a very mixed blessing, because the whole relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud changed once in Torah. Once a Talmud can take a Sefer, go to a store and buy a Sefer. 90% of learning was done with a Rebbe, with an interpersonal relationship. It was a Masorah, it was a link in the chain. He gave you over. And when someone teaches you something, my Rosh Hashiva was alive, when my Rosh Hashiva was alive, and I heard a Shia from him, it had a life, right? And I understood it better and clearer and sharper, and I knew exactly what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's Nifta. He wrote Svarim. The Svarim are almost the same words as Shirim that I heard. I go to a Sefer now, I look at it, it's lifeless. So good, I'm looking at the words and I could figure it out and I'm learning, But it's just that we assume is a great benefit, is in Torah it's not a great benefit. We've lost the kesher. That's why now people don't have rebbeim. I'm not knocking the Torah world. I'm part of it. But this is how history has led us. This is why you have people growing up that don't really have a Rebbe. They don't really have a Rebbe because there's so many Sfarim. And you can satisfy your urge to learn and your need to learn just by going into and the Sfarim are so cheap. And they're cheaper even when there was printing. Now it is, computers and Otzer HaChachma with 60,000 Sfarim and HebrewBooks.org with 40,000 Sfarim. And anything, you just click any subject you want and you're an instant expert. You think you are. And you didn't learn it from a Rebbe. You didn't cut your teeth by a Rebbe. And this is, Lakewood's a wonderful, wonderful thing for our door. But if you talk to the Rosh Hashivas of the next great yeshivas, they say this is terrible. Lakewood is sucking the life out of us, and boys who graduate high school, then they learn, and then they're running to Lakewood. It's not a good thing. They're not matured yet. It's like skipping the intern stage, right? Because like everybody's a doctor. You go to Google and you look up on the internet what the disease is. You probably have some website that you type in the symptoms and it spits out what your disease is. And now people are no more shachas to a doctor. And a family doctor's a rarity, where he knows you and he understands you and he knows where you're coming from and he knows what aches you and what pains you. So I'm not, this is history. This is the way it is. That's what we talk about. You read this Hadoros, even though there's such an explosion of Torah, because Torah is so much more than the knowledge. There's more encyclopedias out there, and you can't find a subject that's not fully explored. And now in English also, in Hebrew and English, and everything you can. If somebody wants to write a sefer, he has a very hard time coming up with a topic. He has a hard time coming up with a name that hasn't been taken already. There has to be a website with names of forum. It's okay, they're already double, tripling names. So that's the flow of history. But I went off the subject here. The point of the Chovos Halvavos, is that this is Hashem. That we have to see, we have to study history, study inventions. Whether just the fact that in the Gemara, and we have to appreciate, and this makes us realize Chachmas Hashem and Chesed Hashem. The Gemara spends what would seem to us an inordinate amount of time. It's not inordinate, you'll hear in a second. They walked around, and there was human waste was all over, and there's so many dinim about making a bracha, and you have to check where you are, and you have to clean up, and you have to make sure there's no, like without running water, without toilets. It sounds funny, which is a very recent phenomenon, but it changed our whole lives. The Gemara is so busy with if you can make a bracha, if you can learn where the smell goes to, do you have to check or not? It's not clean. You couldn't walk in the street and you want to eat an apple. You can't. You have to look all around. So the point is, all these things happen for a reason. Hashem is. It's not by chance that someone. I don't even know how running water came about. I don't know what was necessary. I don't even know what was necessary to have.
What kinds of the
to have running water?
More kedusha or less kedusha?
I don't know. It's easier to make a bracha now. We're cleaner, we're more sanitary, but maybe we're less sensitive. I don't know. I had my vesikin minyan, I still have it, in the nursing home in Muncie. So I had to deal with different administrators of the nursing home. They let us be in their shul. The nursing home had a beautiful shul. Hashem was amazing, and I didn't have to pay rent, and they didn't have to clean, and I had a big, beautiful structure, a big, beautiful shul, not a standing building. It was a room in the nursing home, but it was a shul. Because a nursing home has to have a shul, but no one in the nursing home was going to the shul. Now, unfortunately, it was beyond that point. But they wanted to maintain a shul. Beautiful Aron Kodesh, beautiful chairs, beautiful tables, everything top-notch, cleaned for us, everything. But I had to deal with the administrators. And the bathrooms became a problem because they had to lock the bathrooms because they didn't want the residents walking into the bathroom. It was a LASIK. So I had to deal with it. How are we going to give our people access to the bathrooms? And she couldn't understand my obsession with it. She said in a church, she was a guy. She said in a church, there's no bathrooms in a church. It's a dirty thing. How do you have a bathroom? So I said, Adarabba, we are careful that we're menake our bodies before we pray to Hashem. And this is a wonderful thing that every shul would have a bathroom. And it used to be a big problem, and people would have to come late until you found a place to go mechutz l'machaneh. And there's all sorts of dinim, how you have to have a shovel with you, and how you have to dig, and you have to keep it sanitary and clean. And now, boom, boom, boom. I said, excuse me for asking, how long do you sit in church? Why do you have no bathroom? Doesn't the priest give a sermon? How do you sit there? Anyway, but I don't know. Things are easier in that regard. You learn the Gemara. Like in the Gemara in Brachos, I remember for years, maybe decades, I couldn't understand. There's a perek in Brachos that's talking about all types of incense. Like their homes were heavily, and people would perfume themselves, even men, and heavily perfumed. It was talking about what kind of bracha to make, and I didn't understand they weren't effeminate. And then someone explained to me that they have no water, they have no running water. People stank. People had body odor, and they covered it up with these perfumes, and it's just like Nafala Simone. I said, hey, of course, you don't have running water. It's a different life. What do you want? So the point is, that's what the Chaim Halevitz is saying. This is a subject to study. There's a person that writes books like this. I forget his name now. I saw it by Shanky in English. He examines history, and he shows you. And it's again, it's Chasdei Hashem, and it's Chochmas Hashem. And you really, again, in a way, we're being menutak from Hashem. The going away from agriculture and having running water, right? So much of our history and of Tanakh are people who davened with an intensity that we don't match, because they were davening for water. Because, you know, it's not always like the last week. You know, so they captured the water in cisterns, and you hoped for the best to get through the summer. And now, you know, it's not such a... Again, it's a mixed blessing. Everything's a mixed blessing. We're menutak from Hashem. We go over to the sink and we open the water. You know, and a water shortage means we should close the water when we're taking showers. And, you know, I don't know. So everything is history. There's more Hester Ponim, more atheism, because... does it sound funny? Even... I wrote my column a few weeks ago. Even Avodah Zorah has a mile to atheism. You know, at least you're connected to something spiritual, and you want something spiritual, and you're not just, you believe in that there's a higher power. It has certain qualities. Now look around in the world today. 85% of the people believe in a God and go to church, maybe in America, but it doesn't mean anything in their lives. They're certainly becoming more and more degenerate, more and more immoral, disgusted. I mean, it's also to talk about what's going on.
It's a question by saying it's a mixed blessing. The invention of computer technology then is possibly part of Yehuda's Hadoas, however much good there is in it.
Yeah, everything's a mixed blessing. Anything that's menatik you from a rabbi, I say the printed word. It's so clear to me that there's such a Yeridus Hadoros, because people don't have rabbeim the way they used to anymore. they don't, you know, it's a rarity for someone to say, you know, a real Rebbe, you know, a Rebbe that you drink and thirst everything he says, and you absorb his wisdom, and Godol Shimusha Yoser Melimuda, and you hang around him. You don't have to hang around anybody. You buy a safer and a standard, and you're in business.
Isn't that more powerful students? They're so attached to the Rebbe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now there's so many more people who have access. So that's the thing. You have maybe the same amount, and now it's just spread over a greater number, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. So again, the Chovis HaLovis wants us to look at all these phenomena. Let's go back to the Chovis HaLovis. He wants us to look at all this phenomena and study it and understand it. I mean, that's what we're doing now. We're talking about it. We're trying to understand it. You know, we're coming closer to Mashiach, where it says, Umola ha'oretz deyos Hashem kamayim ayom mechasim. But before the greatest or, there's always the greatest choshech. That's a certain understanding that I have from Chazal. So we're more and more menutak from Hashem, but like the infrastructure is there. It's superficial. But there's so much wisdom out there, but I feel in a certain superficial level that like all Mashiach's going to have to do is like come, and then the infrastructure's all there. The Torah's all there, and all the Sforim are there, and everything's there. But then things will be right. He'll make things right. He'll make things the way they're supposed to be. So, even the chachma of mental health has exploded since Freud.
Right,
it became a whole. They used to just lock you up and goodbye. Either that, or you were miserable your whole life, or your spouse was miserable, or your kids were miserable, or you were miserable, and you just stayed miserable. I mean, people are not happier now than then. That's for sure. That's because you read these books like Little House on the Prairie. I love those books. I think people were happy when they were doing things with their hands, mm-hmm. when they physically built something. They didn't just go into a Walmart and buy it. Really? Really? You know?
You feel that way in their homes.
That's because we're...
You built something. You feel it. And they were pulsating. Well, they didn't have to worry so much about nutrition. Like, they were healthy. They had a walk. You didn't have to say, okay, I'm going to take a walk every day. You know, a car is a mixed blessing.
But they lived shorter lives.
But they lived fuller lives.
But I don't know if they were healthier.
They were happier. For sure they were happier. For sure. For sure they were happier. The happiness quotient on a going down. Okay, but this is I don't know what to do. Chazal wants you to study. We're not getting past chemistry and physics. That's number one. But this is very important. It's not well understood. That's why I'm stressing it. That inventions and the flow of history is also Chochmas Hashem. Hashem is maneuvering everything. Every invention appears in its right time.
Don't you see that sometimes like the same genius idea will come down, like two or three people will have it like basically all at the same time.
Yeah.
It'll enter the world at the same time. Yeah. So the fact that it's in three places at once.
Yeah, and only one guy gets to make money out of it.
Yeah, I know, gets the Nobel Prize or whatever, yeah.
They say, what's his name, Jobs, his chachma was to turn it into something you could sell to the public. He didn't really invent anything.
Right.
He was just a genius at making it practically usable.
User-friendly.
And then marketing it. Okay. So, I mean, you know, you think electricity and lights changed our lives. Not to the better. You fight with your kids to go to sleep. We don't sleep enough. Nobody sleeps enough. Nobody sleeps enough. It's very unhealthy. It's light. On the other hand, you see pictures of the Shach writing his amazingly intricate, deep, and complex Perish, and he's sitting in a almost pitch black room with a candle, and it's dripping, you know, it's full, it's dripping all over, and he's sitting there with a quill over, and he's writing, and you know, like you say, you know, we wouldn't do that, you know, we wouldn't do that. You read the Sadoiris, we wouldn't do that. So Hashem made now, you know, beautiful lighting and fluorescent and halogen, and But then people don't sleep. It's a tremendous problem. Talk to doctors. Every doctor will tell you that nobody sleeps enough. Schools. It's a recent invention. The reason that Reb Chaim Volozhin made yeshivas, and even then they just put everybody in the same class. They didn't have classes. So you say, okay, but I don't know. Okay. You have to study it. You have to come up with a theory, a sociological theory. Maybe we'll open a college here. We'll wipe everybody over.
So what's your theory? Just the infrastructure in place?
I don't know. It's like, I have a general theory that we're people are more robotic and less real. It's in general. I think that affects everything.
Why would that be?
That's what's happening in history.
Well,
that's the flow of history, because we need Mashiach more and more. We're not real. We're more menutak from Hashem. So we're not really in touch with our real selves. We just, I don't know, we're menutak from the earth, we're menutak from a Rebbe. We're not like touching home base. We're like creatures, just existing, living, going through the motions. And we think we have great, because we have air conditioning and cars and this, but we're not, you know, you learn in Gemara, you see how they lived, you know, and I don't know, they were more real. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if it's a, I never really sat down and developed the thought enough to get to write a thesis and to get a doctorate. I just know we're not real. We take parenting classes and Shalom Bayis classes, and everything's a class, and everything is learning how to do it, what should come totally naturally. What should come? Hashem made the world. He's going to talk about parenting, what a nace it is. So now the nace stopped. Now we have to go to classes to learn how to be parents. It's not, I don't know, that's my general theory, is that we're less real because we're further from Hashem, because there's more Hester upon him. The Yesod HaDvarim of history, in my mind, is more and more Hester. And the more inventions there are, and the more modern living there is, and the less we're connected to Hashem. That's why the hilltop youth, they walk around, they live with Hashem. They live with Hashem. So they're too much extreme the other way. Even the Shulchan Aruch, you know these things. The Shulchan Aruch was a major shift in Jewish living. Again, Hashem did it because it was necessary. Before the Shulchan Aruch, I had to learn what to do, and I had to figure out what to do, and I had to go to the sources, or I had to ask a Rebbe, and I didn't know what to do. And now, then the Shulchan Aruch came along, it met Rabbi Yosef Cairo, I'm talking about. It met tremendous opposition, because really similar to the Rambam opposition, which was 500 years before that he codified things, and now people are going to stop learning. They're going to stop knowing, understanding where it comes from, and they're just going to, like now you would say, you're just going to open a kit. Halavai people would open a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? You open a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you just do it. And again, I'm talking about men now who have an obligation to learn Torah. And you say, why am I doing this? Where is it coming from? You know, I was talking about this Friday night by the Oneg. You know, really, ideally, you're not supposed to ask a Shaila. You're supposed to figure it out yourself. I'm talking to men now. That's a man's obligation, to learn Torah and to figure it out yourself. No, nobody does that now. I mean, not nobody, but we're more menutak. Even the creation of a Shulchan Aruch, and now there's a Mishnah Brura, and there's so many Sfarim, and you look up what to do, and we're less real. We're not really connected to the source. That's how I see things, whether it's in agriculture or in Torah. So it seems that the Chochmas Olam is different, that they're getting, right, they keep on, you know, getting to the atom and the neutron and the proton, they're more and more connected. But I don't know, maybe that's only a select few, just like there's a select few Chamidei Chachamim. Maybe your average person in the street who's whose kids grow up thinking that milk is on the supermarket shelf, and they also have, they're also menutak. Things are getting better and worse at the same time, because there's more hesterponim. That's why it's good for Purim to talk about these things, because that's the ultimate hesterponim. There's no Hashem. It means it doesn't look like this Hashem, so we search for him and we wait for Mashiach, and there's always the biggest choshech before the biggest or.
So wouldn't you say that there's also more merit for those that do claim?
Yeah.
Indeed.
I just wish I was one of them.
There would be more merit than past generations.
Yeah. In a sense, yeah. But that's not what Hashem's looking for. Hashem doesn't want the individual who has more merit because he overcame all these obstacles. Hashem has Klal Yisrael. Hashem, that's an older Sforim. Hashem, Hashem cares. Hashem relates to Klal Yisrael. He's worried, so to speak, about where Klal Yisrael's going. And I mean, again, we're sitting here, most of Klal Yisrael are not from. We're not even, that's huge. That's major. Separation of church and state. Not such a good thing. Not such a good thing. That's why Bote Din have no power, and a Rav has no power, and Kehilos have no power. And people sit and complain all day, why don't the Rabbanim do this, and why don't the Rabbanim do that? It's because we can't. But maybe that's a bracha too. Because if there wouldn't be a separation of church and state, then there's a phenomenon called, not reality, but it's called conservative Judaism and Reform Judaism. So if they had to give rabbis power, then the conservative rabbis would also have power, and the Reform rabbis would have power. So Hashem said, I'll head them off at the pass. I'll make situation of separation of church and state, and now nobody has power. So at least you can't be mekalkel. So now the Rabbanim have to live with the fact that the Beis Din has to live with the fact that it has no real judicial power, and they're not allowed to be given it by the state. And the Rav has to, right, I can't make a knas, on the Kehila. I can't infringe upon their personal freedoms. Maybe that's a good thing, because there's a lot of other people out there that would do that. So anyway, you have to study this. And I have to apologize to you, because you came up with Mesiris Nefesh and you printed out the Anthropic Principle and we didn't even get to it. I'm really sorry. Okay, we'll stop now.